I remember in the mid-80s, I began to be fascinated with the year 1999. Now, it really sparked from a song by the American musician Prince, and it was called 1999. The inspiration for the song would come from a TV documentary that Prince watched about Nostradamus. In the film, Nostradamus predicted that terror would fall upon the world in the year 1999. The next day at rehearsal, Prince discussed the documentary with his bandmates, and they imagined that if the world was going to end, you might as well throw a huge party. Knowing this horror was to happen, why not? Have fun. Party like it's 1999. The world was supposed to end. Most of us here in the sanctuary were around when it turned from 1999 to 2000. Many people feared that the end of the world was near, and the world as we know it would be gone. I remember hearing a story about a family much like mine where the father, who we will not name, or husband, was very concerned about the world and what would happen when all the computers switched over from 1999 to 2000. Remember, it was Y2K. Now, this husband was very nervous and he feared that banking would stop, that food would not be provided, there would be no water. And so, systems that worked normally, transportation, would just fall apart, and the world would come to an end when the computers clicked over. The story that I've been told says that he began to save water in jugs, gallon jugs, 2-liter bottles, and stack them along the stairs of the basement. He began to collect canned food and dehydrated food. He began to stock up for fear that doomsday was coming. Fortunately, when midnight changed from 1999 to 2000, they did like Prince and partied. Because it was 2000. Fortunately, none of these actions that the father feared would happen came into existence. I've often thought about the end times and the many authors and screenplays written about the apocalypse. Many of us are fascinated by the end of the time, and there are plenty of movies that keep us focused on the end times. Movies like The Matrix, Planet of the Apes, and shows like The Walking Dead have given us a vivid look at the end of time. We call these apocalyptic prophecies in describing the complete end of the world. Our scripture lesson from Mark 13 is guaranteed to raise our pulses just a little bit. In it, Jesus begins to tell the disciples that there are signs that the end is near. The entire chapter has been called Mark's mini apocalypse. It's reminiscent of the style and theme of the book of Revelation, which is the classic Christian example of apocalyptic writing. Apocalyptic literature is a special kind of writing that was very popular during the times of Jesus. It deals with looking at the world's end using clever and meaningful symbols. Imagery, often powerful and wild, was used to paint word pictures. In our lesson, Jesus responds to a comment about how magnificent the temple was. He looked past the building to a time when it would be destroyed. Indeed, the temple would be destroyed, but it would be generations later. Jesus then took the disciples on a verbal journey to the end. The chapter focuses on symbols and events that will show that the end is about to happen. But the reason Jesus told the disciples these things wasn't so that he would pinpoint a date. It wasn't to give them a head start if they could get their affairs in order. And it wasn't to let them gloat when things happened and they could say, "I told you so." Except for the destruction of the temple, none of the disciples saw these things were coming about. It wasn't even seen in the year 2000. The temple itself was built of massive stones, carefully laid one upon the other. The temple was a magnificent structure, the most beautiful building in all of Jerusalem. It had been built by Herod. It was estimated to have been 170 feet long and 20 stories high. It would be seen from any view within the city. Upon hearing the disciples' admiration about the building, Jesus declared that the time would come when not one stone would be left. The temple and the city of Jerusalem was destined for destruction. This prophecies of Jesus would be fulfilled as Titus, the Roman general, invaded Jerusalem and the temple, and much of the city was burned to the ground in 70 AD. Jesus continues in his scripture to tell the disciples to be aware that no one lead you astray. Many will come in my name and say, "I am he," and they will lead you astray. We have witnessed the rise and fall of many charismatic leaders throughout history. Hitler deceived the Germans leading up to World War II. In modern times, we've known people like Jim Jones and David Koresh who climbed to a level they called Messiah, and many followed them. In the next verse, Jesus says, "When you hear of war and rumors of war, do not be alarmed. This must take place. Life happens. But the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom." In my lifetime, we have experienced the war in Vietnam, Somalia, and Iraq, and we have been at war with terrorists regime since 2001, when the castles fell, the World Trade Center. Civil war has ravaged part of Africa for decades. Syria has endured civil war and unrest for years. But Jesus said, "Do not be alarmed." Ukraine is embattled in an ongoing war with Russia for territory. China and India are at a standoff threatening attacks. And Jesus said, "Do not be alarmed." Today we face the threats of war with North Korea, with Iran, with Russia, with whomever may want to fight. And Israel faces attacks from Palestinians and those sympathetic to their cause. And Jesus said, "Do not be alarmed." Jesus says there will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. Do not be alarmed. This must take place. This is the beginning of a birth pangs, a sharp pain, a painful emotion, like the birth of a child. The pain eventually subsides. Eventually, that pain departs from us. In today's gospel, Jesus challenges us to live free from the chains of fear and the desire for control. Jesus calls us to radical reliance on this eternal presence, which he promises will accompany us as we endure these tough times and celebrate the good times, and a life lived free of fear. In today's culture, is definitely one of most radical claims that God could make us see the way. Our challenge is identifying the roots of our fear. In our lives, we are asking God to rip the fear away before the poison seeps into our lives. When you meet someone different, pray that people will see your real soul. Pray that God will give you the power to love them as God commanded. When you watch a 24-hour news channel and hear someone telling you to be afraid, change the channel. Pray that you would be filled with the joy of God's eternal presence. And when you hear gossip and backstabbing, pray that God would give you the words to be brave and defend their honor. I suspect the world will not end for a long time. Probably many, many, many generations, or perhaps never. But no one can say as an individual that tomorrow is promised to them. The end of our world might be just around the corner. But Jesus said, "Do not be afraid." Can we seek to look at our priorities and our attitudes to life in such a way that might bring change to the way we live? Can we accept Jesus' challenge to live our faith out with alertness and perseverance and enthusiasm? If we knew that our lives were ending soon, there would be undoubtedly edginess to our lives. As sad as it would be, we would have the gift of setting our priorities, getting our papers in order, making everything orderly. Why do we have to be under such threat to set priorities correctly? It's just human nature. Life happens. If priorities are correct under threatening times and threatening circumstances, they must be correct for us in life. And all is well when that happens. Living our faith on the edge can make an incredible difference in how we serve God and how we see others. It can make an amazing difference in the way we live our lives. Norman Vincent Peale, who was a doctor, once told of an encounter. He encountered a hurricane while on a cruise ship in the Atlantic. After the captain managed to sail around the danger, the captain and Dr. Peale were visiting with one another. The captain said he had always lived by a simple philosophy. If the sea is smooth, it will get rough. And if it's rough, it will get smooth. He added something worth remembering. But with a good ship, the captain said, you can always ride it out. Our ship is Jesus Christ. With a good ship, we can always ride it out. Jesus said, do not be afraid. None of us knows how long we have on this earth. Life will happen around us, but we know that God has promised to be alongside us. Every step of the way, through the highs, through the lows, God is and always will be the same God who created you, loves you, and promises life. In the face of tragedy, uncertainty, and fear, may you be bold in your faith that life always triumphs over death. Peace is more powerful than fear, and the world will be redeemed. Amen.